2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verse 7 and 8 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I would have you notice in the bulletin this morning that those are bloopers. We're not taking out applications for two-year-old nursery workers. And I can guarantee you the pastor is not going to preach his farewell message, at least not as far as he knows. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, a familiar verse in the Bible, and I want us to think about it this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said this near the end of his life as he's writing from prison. The day of his departure is at hand. And he could write to young Timothy these words, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. Not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." I want you to notice the things he says in verse 7 at the end of his life. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, this morning we're so thankful for that which we've already heard, the singing, the prayer requests, Father, those that are in need, our opportunity to give. And Father, I pray that you would now work in each and every one of our hearts. God, I pray you give us guidance in the message this morning. Lord, I pray you give wisdom. I pray your Spirit, Father, would work in each and every heart. And Father, help us to get something this morning that would be beneficial to us. Something that would be helpful. God, some of us need correcting. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would take your word and do the correcting in each and every heart. No one else around us will even know what you're doing in our heart as we hear the word of God. Father, some need encouragement. And I'm thankful, God, I recognize that it's not within me to be able to reach and meet the needs of these folks. God, I can preach this sermon. I can preach it without your help. But Father, it would be wasted effort. I can preach it in natural ability, God, but we need you to take it and apply it to each heart. And Father, give encouragement, give challenge. So we ask you this morning to do that which only you can do. We pray, Father, if there's Christians here that are struggling, that God, you'd encourage them and give them what they need. Father, maybe someone that's not yet a Christian, never committed their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray you'd help them to see that need this morning. Bless your word to each and every heart. Father, please give everybody something from your word that will meet a need that's in their life this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. From this verse this morning, I kind of want to springboard, I guess it's what us preachers call it. I want to give you the principles for blessed living. Principles for blessed living. Now, if I was a motivational speaker, I would say I want to give you the keys or principles for successful living. And then I could charge you lots of money for being a motivational speaker and telling you how to have a successful life. If I was a television preacher, I could give you the keys or principles for prosperous living and also make a lot of money and tell you where to send the money to do that. But that's not my goal. My goal is simply to do this, to give you something that is going to help you in this life. I firmly believe that the Bible has all the answers. You don't need Dr. So-and-so's next book. You don't need the next thing that's going to be written, the next DVD that's going to be made, or VCR, whatever it is, the next thing that's going to... All you need is the Word of God. The Word of God has the answers. The problem is not that the Bible doesn't have the answers. The problem is that we're not looking to the Bible for our answers, and we're not applying the Bible as our answers. Many times we don't like the answer the Bible gives, so we disc it, and we go buy somebody's book, or we listen to Dr. Phil, or we go to Oprah or somebody like that, because we don't like the advice the Bible gives. We want the advice we want to hear, so we go to that and we make a mess out of our life because we're not going to the right source. When you look at Paul's words in verse number 7, at the end of his life he said this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now, whether we're going to call that successful living or prosperous living, I don't know. But that's blessed living. That at the end of your life you could say those words, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. I don't think there's anybody in this room this morning that would say, well, I want to say the opposite of that. I want to get to the end of my life and say, well, I quit the fight. I didn't finish the course. I didn't keep the faith. I don't think there's anybody here that would sign up for that. That would say, that's my goal at the end of my life. When I get to the end like Paul did, I want to be able to say that. I threw in the towel. I quit on the faith. I didn't finish the race. No, we all want to say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Here's my question this morning. If that's our desire at the end of our life to be able to make those statements like Paul did, which I believe everybody here wants to make that, would be able to want to make that statement, when do you start preparing for it? When in your life do you start preparing to be able to say at the end of your life, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Is that something that when you have your 70th birthday, you say, well, you know, it's time to get things in order now. I need to live right for the remaining years so I can say, I have finished my course, I've kept the faith. I don't think 70 is a good time. Because if we wait till 70, we've made too big a mess to make of anything to now be able to say I can fix it and finish my course with joy. So you back up a little bit. So, well, at 50, I'll do that. Is that going to fix it? If we turn everything around at 50 years old, is that going to override the first 50 years in the remaining 20 or 30? So that at the end we can say, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. When we were on the mission field many years ago, the culture of the people we lived with was exactly that mentality. Their idea was that, you know, you as you're young, you sow your wild oats. And they would do that. I mean, the young men would marry at 20, 25 years old. They would be drunk every weekend. They would beat their wives, pull them, yank them by the hair, go home. Their kids would be cowering in the corner because of the drunk father that was around. That was standard fare. That was universal in that culture and those people. That's what everybody did. When they got to about 50, they realized that over half their life was over, and they would start going to church. They kind of went to church before that, but at 50, and now they're grandparents, then they would turn everything around and start trying to straighten things out. I got news for you. You know what they couldn't do? They couldn't fix it at 50. What they've spent 50 years breaking could not be fixed at 50 years old in their natural ability. And they would become experts in later life at what people should do in their younger life when they themselves made a mess of it in their younger life and now thought they were experts and nobody listened to them. They did what everybody else did. There was no validity. You can't wait till you're 50 to start it. So I want to give you this morning some principles for blessed living, and the first one is start right. Start right. You can't wait till you're 40. You can't wait till you're 60. You can't wait till you're 80 to get started and then be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Back up to chapter 3. Look at verse 15. Notice what Paul said to Timothy, this young man that he's training to take his place as a missionary, as a pastor. In chapter 3 and verse 15 of the same book, Paul says to Timothy, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I did not have the benefit of being raised in a Christian home. I did not get saved until I grew up and moved away from home. My mother was an alcoholic. I grew up without a mom. I mean, she was there, but she was usually on the couch, either passed out or cussing and damning everything that moved around her. I would go to my friend's house, I'd go to Doug's house, I'd go to Tim's house, I'd go to Eric's, we'd go there. None of my friends came to my house. You didn't go to our house because it wasn't friendly, wasn't a good atmosphere. I didn't have the benefit of being raised in a Christian environment. I had the blessing of being able to raise my kids in a Christian environment. Oh, I thank God for that. What a blessing it was to be able to raise them from day one and train them and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You understand, today a lot of kids don't have that benefit. They're being raised like I was raised. Now, I had a good dad. I had a father that worked. He worked hard. He put up with my mom for many, many years. And I'm glad to say, and long after I was gone, about 10 years before she died, she finally got straightened out. She got sober. I won't tell you how that happened, but it was very drastic. But it got all straightened out, and Dad told me after all those years, he said it was worth the wait, and I thank God for that. But there's a lot of kids being raised in homes like the home I was raised in. That's not a good start. You know why we send the buses out every Sunday? You know why two of our men go out every Saturday and visit every kid they can and then take the buses out, and we bought a new bus and we got the old... You know why? Because we think kids deserve to have a good start. Kids deserve to have a good start. And though it might only be small, we only get them in here for a couple hours on Sunday. We try to get them back on Wednesday. But they deserve a good start. And if we can do anything, we can give them the Bible stories. He said to Timothy, he said, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Some of you had a good start. Some of you were able to make that beginning. You ought to thank God for it. You ought to never depart from it. You ought to be thankful that you got something that the rest of us didn't get and had to make a mistake, had to go the wrong way for many years. Thank God you got a good start like Timothy did. Look back, if you would, at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. After Psalms and Proverbs. Psalms right in the middle of the Old Testament, then Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Look what Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said. Now I know you think you're smarter than he is, I understand that. But Solomon, who the Bible says was the wisest man that ever lived. He said, no, Dr. Spock. No, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Notice what he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." See, this goes against the grain of that teaching. Well, they're young, let them live their life. Why? Were you young and lived your life? Don't you have haunting memories of it now? Aren't there repercussions of the things you did when you were young that you shouldn't have done? And now you're going to say, well, let's let them make those same mistakes. Let's let them make mistakes that will cause them heartache the rest of their life. Is that the proper way to go about it? Is that how to have blessed living? "Remember thy Creator now in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not." You know, it's a blessing to me is to hear some older saint of God give a testimony and say, "Alcohol's never touched my lips. I've never had tobacco, either blowing it out of my mouth or chewing it in my mouth." I remember Brother Ralph Bisher, old saint of God, before he died, he was able to say, I've never tasted that stuff. I have no idea what it tastes like. What a blessing. Now the world looks upon that and says, boy, what a dull life. No, that's a blessed life. Because then you don't have the baggage. Then you don't have the suitcases of sin to carry around. Start young. You know, when Solomon, who just wrote that, look at Proverbs chapter 1. I would recommend, and I've heard preacher after preacher say this, and it's not new to me, and read a chapter of Proverbs every single day of your life. Today is August 10th. When the calendar day is 10, read Proverbs chapter 10. On the 11th, read chapter 11. You say, what if I miss the 11th? Well, on the 12th, read chapter 12. You just get in the habit of reading a proverb every day. The old saying is, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And Solomon wrote Proverbs to his son to remind him to remember the Creator in the days of his youth. And when you read through the book of Proverbs, you read a father writing to his son at a very young age, in an infant age, and writing to him all the way through his life, his young life. When he gets to chapter 8 and 9, he's warning him against certain women. earlier chapters, he's warning him against his friendships and associations. He's watching his son as he goes through the stages of life and writing. And it's a wonderful book for you and I to read all the way from the beginning. He says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. The book of Proverbs is written to tell a young person how to live their life, how to conduct themselves, how to keep them from the heartaches of sin. If we want to be able to say at the end of our life, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, we've got to start right. Now here's the problem. Most of us probably did not get saved as children. Now can I say, greater than the guy that stands here at 60 years old and says, I murdered people, I robbed, I drank, and God saved me. That's a wonderful testimony of God's grace. But you know what a greater testimony is? The man that's 50 and says, I've never tasted alcohol. I've never seen pornography. I've never been around that kind of environment. That's a greater testimony of God's saving grace than that is. We want to look at that and say, that's something. And it is. But that's even better. And if you want to be able to finish your course and keep the faith and come to the end like that, you need to start right. Now the problem is, most of us got saved and can't have that testimony. So you're saying, preacher, I'm all done. I can't. There's nothing I can do. I'm here in my life. I've done some of those things. How can I start now? I got good news for you. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get a new start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Whatever age it was you were that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, at that point God said, I gave you a new life. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I remember when I got saved. I remember those things, the sins that so easily beset me, the sins that I struggled with and had a hard time with. I'm not going to say they were all easy to get rid of, but when I got saved, boy, it was a big step. And then I looked at the future I had with God and all the things I could do now and the things that were put behind. When Paul got saved, Paul was not a young man when he got saved. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And yet when he got saved, he realized he had everything going for him, pointing toward the future. Look, if you would, in, let me find my reference here. It's Philippians chapter 3. Look over in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3. If we want to have a blessed life, we've got to have a good start. You know what the Bible does? The Bible likens our life to a race, does it not? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Your life is a race. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, we all run a race. So we're all in this race, running this race together. If you want to finish right, you've got to start right. You watch the Olympics, you watch those guys, you know, they're getting ready to shoot the gun and those guys are in the blocks and ready. They are ready. There's false starts a lot of time. You know why? They're ready to jump the gun. They know that beginning start is going to determine whether or not they can win that race. It's hard to catch up if you get behind. So they're waiting for that gun to sound. They're trying to preempt it. They're trying to shoot out of that block as fast as they can because they know a good start can be the beginning of a good finish. We all know people who have started good and finished bad. We all know people that have never finished what they started. But nobody has ever finished something they never started. You've got to start right. Look what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Here's the Apostle Paul, saved. I don't know how old he was. In his 30s? His 40s? I don't know. He had a lot of years after that in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So he had a long life behind him, ahead of him, but he had a lot before that. And he said, this thing what I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, a key for a blessed living? Put the past in the past. Put the bad things behind and put the good things in front. Paul said, you read Paul's testimony, he was worse than anybody here. He is a bigger sinner than anybody here by the world's estimation. He took Christian people, he took folks like you and I that have never harmed a dove, people like you and I that love the Lord Jesus Christ and try to treat our neighbors good and try to get along with people. He took those very people and had them put to death. God's people, the church, he oppressed it, he persecuted it. He had Christians put to death. And yet when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, you know what he said? Those things that are back behind me, I put them in the past and I pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. He had a new start. And if we want to have a blessed life, we've got to take advantage of that new start. The prodigal son said to his father, give me mine inheritance. And he went off into the far country and he wasted it in riotous living. The older brother said, he spent all his money on harlots. He spent all his money. He's wasted that inheritance. But one day, the Bible said, when he came to himself, he went back to his father. He got a new start. You know, it's never too late to have a new start. It's never too late. Now, the earlier we do it, the better off we are. Bernie, hate to pick on Bernie, 70 years old, got a new start all over again. He'd heard it all his life. His dad was a lay preacher. His brother towed the line. Bernie decided it wasn't for him, went off, did something else. Came back at 70 years old. It's wonderful to get a new start at 70, but wouldn't it be more wonderful, and Bernie would be the first one to tell you this, to have stayed there all along? To have not have gotten away? To have to come back as the prodigal did, have to come out, and I don't know how he lived, I'm not trying to make that, but have to come back after years of wasted living? You want to have a blessed life? You want to say, I finished my course, I've kept the faith? Have a good start. Keep at it. Keep running the race. But you got to have a good start. If you're here this morning, this is a good start. If you're in church on Sunday morning, that's a good start. If you haven't started before then, and I know most of you have, but if you haven't started before, this is a good time to start. During the invitation this morning, we have an altar call. It'd be a good time to come down here and kneel and say, God, right now, I'm determined. I'm going to make that start right now. I want to be able to say at the end of my life, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I don't want to get to the end. I don't want to get to the end of my life and have to say, the devil whipped me. I lost my faith. I quit in the fight. Get a good start. A good start is an important first step to having a blessed life. Get a good start. Number two, principles for blessed living. Have a good start. Number two, recognize the law of cause and effect. Recognize the law of cause and effect. You learned this in science, didn't you? Every action has an equal reaction. All right, one of the laws of thermodynamics. Every action has an opposite and equal reaction. That's cause and effect. That simply means that everything you do has a consequence. Every decision you make has a result. If it's a right decision, there will be a positive result to it. If it's a wrong decision, there will be a negative result to it. You know what I'm looking at, folks? I'm looking at a bunch of folks that are getting negative consequences. There's nobody here exempt. Unless you've made every decision in your life right, every single one, there are negative consequences. If we do 50-50, then the consequences are 50-50. And we go out and we talk to people and we try to witness to people and win them to Christ, and you look at their life and you look at the mess that they've made of it. And the disaster that's all around them. And you know what everybody wants to do? Everybody wants to do what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. When God came to Adam and said, Adam, why did you eat of that fruit? You know what Adam did? Pointed to Eve. You know what Eve did? Pointed to the serpent. That's our human nature. Owning up to the responsibility of our own decisions is a monumental event in maturity. To say, I made the mistake. I made the wrong decision. I did the wrong thing. I made the wrong choice. But that's the beginning of recognizing how to have a blessed life. By recognizing the law of cause and effect. By learning that everything we do has a reaction to it. When we obey God, we get positive reactions. When we disobey God, we get negative reactions. It's amazing that people just say, I don't know how I got in this position. I don't know how I got here in life. I can tell you how. You made wrong decisions. I've told you about my mom, and let me tell you about my dad. My dad's birthday should have been this past Wednesday. He'd have been 84 years old. 84 is not too old. 84 is old enough to still be around. But he's been gone for 18 years. On Wednesday, my sisters, my brother, all of us, we post pictures of Dad on Facebook and say how much we miss him. We loved our dad. He got saved when he was 45 years old. He got saved after I got saved. But he was a good father, a good dad all the time. You understand, the home I had I not had a good father, we would have had a disaster on our hands. He's a good man. But he had a problem. So my dad was born in 1930. So by 1940, 42, he was smoking cigarettes. Back then, there was no Surgeon General's warning on the packet. They had no idea. I was looking at some ads, some old-fashioned ads somebody posted the other day, and it had the doctor sitting back. It was a big ad, and it said, most professional doctors smoke Camel cigarettes. That's their cigarette of choice. Now, you wouldn't post that today. And back in that day, that's just the way things happened. And at 66 years of age, 18 years ago, long before he should have gone, he died of lung cancer. He had just had brain cancer. That you can't fight it. You can't head that off. You don't know what's head that off. That's a bad choice of words. That one you can't see ahead of time. But he had that and he licked it. And they took him in. This was October of 1996. They took him in November of 1996 after they treated him for the head cancer and did a full body scan to make sure they'd gotten all the cancer. And they saw the lung. And they said, there's nothing we can do. And 3 months later, he's dead. You know what he said to me right before he died? He's a saved man. He's as saved as I am. I have no doubt about it. He said, I've smoked for 56 years or whatever, 50, 55, smoked for 57. I'm not going to get away with it. You know what that is? That's the law of cause and effect. That's one little example of what we sow, we're going to reap. You know that law, don't you? Look at Galatians chapter 6. If you're still in Philippians, turn back. Galatians chapter 6. Can I tell you this, that the principles for blessed living are all found in the Word of God? I have gone to the seminars. I've heard the motivational speakers. I've sat under them. When I was working a secular work as a sales representative, I had to go sit under all these guys. And I know the spiel and I know the story. And you know what just amazed me every time I heard them? Everything they said was a Bible principle. They just didn't know it. Everything. Everything they said that was right, I could sit down there and say, all right, that's in Ephesians. That's in Proverbs. They had no clue. But if it's right, it's in the Word of God. And so if you and I will take the Word of God and make it our guide for living, we will have a blessed life. If we disregard the Bible for our life, it's going to produce a mess. And you go through Guernsey County. You knock on doors.
You see the homes and the families. There's a problem, folks. The problem is because we have dismissed God's Word on how we can have a blessed life. And we're suffering the consequences for it. How do you have a blessed life? You start right. How do you do it? You recognize the law of cause and effect. Here in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The decisions we make are going to have consequences years later. Why do we train our children right? Why do we tell them, don't touch the light socket? Because there's consequences if they do. Why do we tell them, no, don't touch the top of the stove? They're just young, they're little, they don't know any better. Why do we tell them, don't touch, why do we smack their hand when they do it? Oh, that's terrible. No, that's teaching them, don't touch it. We've got generations of kids that are being raised without any correction now. How's that working out? How's that doing? I think we all know how that's resulting. Read the newspaper. Look at the front page every single day. You don't want that trend. You don't want that to happen. Folks, we want to be able to say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. We need to remember the law of cause and effect, of sowing and reaping. So good. S-O-W. So good. If you go out and plant corn, corn's going to grow. You go out and plant weeds, I don't know who would do it, but you go out and plant weeds, weeds are going to grow. What you sow is what you're going to reap. The consequences are going to come. If you want a blessed life, every decision we make. You know, that's a load. You realize that? Every decision we make. There are no small decisions concerning our future. There are no insignificant decisions. Everything we decide for ourselves affects us and affects our future. We want a blessed life. We want to say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Start right. Recognize the law of cause and effect. Number three, seek God's purpose for your life. Seek God's purpose for your life. Look back, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 3. And here again, where Solomon is writing to his young son. His young son. And he tells him at the beginning in chapter 3, as he's just beginning, he tells him in chapter 3 in verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Lean not to thy... You know what your problem is? Isn't that bold for me to stand up here and say this? You know what your problem is? You know why I can say that? Because it's my problem too. We lean unto our own understanding. We got it all figured out. We know how to handle it. We know what to do. We know how to take care of it. And you know what happens when we do that? We make a bigger mess of it when it's over. So the Bible simply says, hey, lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We need to seek God's purpose for our life. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't do what we want. We have to begin with God. He's writing to his young son in the first chapters, saying, starting out as a young man, don't wait till you're 40, don't wait till you're 60, don't wait till you're 80, but at the very beginning, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. If you and I, folks, would learn to follow God instead of following self, you realize the problem for our mistakes is us. We live in a society, we live in a political climate where we always want to blame somebody else for our bad fortune. Well, I was raised this way. I was brought up this way. This is my environment. We want to blame somebody else for our bad misfortune. The Bible tells us we need to own up. We need to take responsibility for our actions. And I'm getting ahead of myself with one of the future points. We need to understand that when we follow our own direction, it's going to be a mess. We need to pray every morning, God, deliver me from me. Deliver me from my own direction. Deliver me from my own desires. Deliver me from my own wishes. The people that have made a mess out of their life have made a mess out of their life, not because they're following God, but because they're following what they wanted to do. You and I are the problem. And the more we learn to give it over to God and trust God and follow God, the better off we're going to be. Solomon told his young son, he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Folks, say it this way, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You ever heard that? You ever said that? I was in the wrong place. You know what the problem with that is? I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's never a right time to be in the wrong place. Now I know we can say that. I was sitting at the traffic light and somebody ran the light and hit me. I was in the wrong place. I understand that terminology. But a lot of times we want to blame things. When we initiated being in the wrong place, then something bad happens and we're surprised that something bad happened when we're in the wrong place. Let's say it this way. We're not in church on Sunday morning. Then we wonder why our life doesn't turn out the way God wants it to be. Can I give you a clue? You know, as a preacher, you know, being a preacher is hard. You have to bite your tongue so many times. I think I've got the thickest tongue in the world. It's been bloodied and calloused so many times. Because people will look at me and they'll say something and I have to bite my tongue, because if I said what I was thinking of saying, they would be offended. And it's not that I'm holding back on the truth, but a lot of times I just want to look at people and say, duh. Look at the way you're living. Look at the things you're doing. Look at the principles of God's Word you're violating. And now you're wondering, why is my life like this? Why do things like this happen to me? And it's reality check time. The things you do have consequences. The mistakes we made come back to haunt us. All of us will testify to that. So what do? We limit the mistakes. We cut down on the decisions that we make according to ourselves and begin yielding ourselves more to God. God has never made a mistake. God has never led somebody in a direction that caused heartache and tragedy. Now that doesn't mean that every path He leads us on are just full of bubbles and Lawrence Welk goodness. My generation will understand that. But it does mean this. We can guard ourselves against a lot of the heartaches. A lot of our wounds are self-inflicted. A lot of our wounds are self-inflicted because we're not following God. We put God in on the second step. We put ourselves on the front step. And then when everything hits us, we say, God, why did you let this happen? He'll just simply say, you're in front of me. You're taking the brunt of it because you put me back here and you put yourself up there. Isn't that the epitome of selfishness? I mean, isn't it the epitome of selfishness to put ourselves here and God behind us, and yet, don't raise your hand. How many of you are doing it right now? How many of you are saying, I know what God wants, and I know what's right, but I. And then when the sadness and the heartache and the sorrows hit, oh, preacher, I don't know why. And I've got to bite my tongue. Because I can tell you exactly why. Look at this. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. There are some principles for blessed living. Start right. Wherever you're at in your life, some of you have already started. Keep it going. Keep the end line in sight. Remember, you want to get there and say, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. If you say, preacher, I can't say that. Right now is the time to get to the starting line. Right now it's time to get to that starting line and say, all right, I'm going to start now. Forgetting those things which are behind. And pressing forward toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to start right. Remember the law of cause and effect. Remember that the decisions you make have consequences. If we could frame that in gold and hand that out to every young person, it would save them heartaches of misery.
Say them tragedy and trial. The things you do now are going to have consequences later. If you sow good things are going to happen. If you sow bad things and wrong things, bad things and wrong things are going to happen. It's not that God's coming down and punishing you. It's that you sowed the wrong things, and that's the natural result of it. Seek God's purpose for your life. Young people are always asking this, Pastor, preacher, how can I know God's will for my life? When it's time for God to show it to you, He'll show it. But see, it's on His timetable. Again, it's all God, it's not us. It's on His timetable, not ours. God will show you what He wants you to do as long as you do now what you're supposed to be doing. Again, this is so simple. This is like Christianity 101, but most of us haven't gotten it down yet. If we want God to bless over here, we've got to do the right things back here. But we want to do what we want to do here and expect God to still do this thing over here, and it doesn't work. Not because God's punishing us, but because we are reaping for what we sowed. So what do? We seek God's purpose for our life. We do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We don't care what the rest of the world thinks, what the relatives and friends say, what the rest of the crowd is doing. We can follow all that stuff and be in just as big a hole as everybody else is. Or we can follow God's direction for our life and have a blessed life. Not successful, not prosperous, but blessed. Now, with that blessing might come success, it might come, but that's not the goal. Success isn't the goal. Prosperity is not the goal. Blessing is the goal. How to have a blessed life. Start right. Recognize the law of cause and effect. Seek God's purpose for your life. Are you doing those things this morning? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, You know my heart this morning. You know I want to be a blessing.